Amen. Thank God for the fresh day the Lord has given to us. He's been so good to us throughout the week. He's blessed us with His word. He's doing some new things in our lives. And as we prepare to go back, we pray that His Spirit will continue to lead us and do new things. We have a song we sing back home, that yesterday is gone. And another day has come. Do something new in my life, Lord. Do something new. Because yesterday is gone. But You've given us a gift of a new day. So do something new in my life. And we pray that our sister brought the word. We will go out there and glorify the name of the Lord in our lives. Today, we want to go with the word of God telling us that we are in a militant church. And therefore, we are a militant people. The army of the Lord. Soldiers of the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To go out and fight for the Lord. As this morning I was going through scripture and I realized that from Genesis up to Revelation, there are people who really stood up for the Lord and they were literally soldiers. All the things that they were doing. And they never had any training in their military barracks. They never have all these, but the Spirit of God came upon them. God transforms us to be, you know, soldiers of the cross. Look at Abraham, Moses, Joshua, you know, Elijah, Daniel, and his friend Nehemiah. You know, they were all, you know, soldiers of the cross with a view of conquering for the Lord. Nehemiah building for the Lord. And when Sanballat and Tobias and all these people are saying, were saying all sorts of things, we are coming at you. Nehemiah said, don't stop the job. Don't stop the work. But with one hand begin to work and with another hand hold on to your weapon. Hold on to your weapon. Don't stop it. No matter the challenges, don't stop. Keep on. Work, work. We are building the, what do you call it? The wall. Building the wall. They want us to stop, but we're not going to stop. Nothing will stop us. So keep on. And get your weapons. They say they are coming at us. But you get, use one of your hands. Let's say use one of the left for your weapon. If it's AK-47, whatever. Put it beside you and then work with the right hand. Continue with the building of the wall. Continue with the building. All right. But he never had any military training. But he organized these people into within a twinkle of an eye into, you know, a military barracks over there. And they were prepared to fight. And they won by the help of the Holy Spirit. So the Lord is telling us today that let us follow our master, Jesus Christ. Let's follow him. He's the one we are following. He has saved us. He saved me. And he saved you. He lives in us. Let us follow him. He was born in a manger. The people came, the wise men came from the east. They were expecting him in the palace. He wasn't there. But when Jesus rose up for start his ministry, he was so militant. They didn't know what to do with him. The authorities didn't know what to do about Jesus. They tried, they did all they could. They couldn't. Jesus enters the temple. He looks at them. Selling and buying and doing all those things. He said, what? My father's house is supposed to be a house of prayer. And you have turned it into a den of thieves and all these things. He took the whip, drove them out, turned the tables. That is what he did. This is the one we are following. That is Christ Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who lives in us. He's a militant Christ, and we are following him. So as we go home, as we go to our various schools and places and workplaces and begin whatever we're doing, let us go with the spirit of a militant church, a militant young man and woman in Christ, going to take territories, to push boundaries for the Lord. Not in our own strength, but in the strength of the Holy Spirit. But we got to be very conscious of that and move in it. This morning at our table, we're discussing, you know, prayer and other things. And one of the things that came up, one said, look at our Muslim brothers. Look at how they pray. How many times?
Five.
And they hang on to it. Five times. Sometimes I do travel, you know, in buses, and we travel long distances. And when we're traveling and the vehicle stops, all right, for, you know, meals and other things, sometimes all of us come in and we can't see one or two people. And you look out and you see them praying. And you, if you like, you go. They will still be praying. We'll talk in the vehicle, but I should have done this, but I should have, but they pray. And they finish before they come on board, before the vehicle goes. Five times. So the Lord, I believe, is telling us that. Let us move in that spirit of being soldiers of the cross. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 says, you know, a soldier, all right, can't please his commander if he entangles himself with civilian affairs. We know where they are. They don't live in the places that we live. They live outside somewhere. Some of them are on ships throughout the whole year. They have been trained to defend us, and they do it religiously with all their hearts. They have everything. They've been trained to do that. The Spirit of God is in us, and he's called us. So in these 2 months, we want to look at this, that we are part of a militant church. We are not part of a weak church. We are not part of a church that is dying. We are not part of a church that doesn't know what to do. But we are part of a militant church, the church of Jesus Christ, that is to take this world for our Lord and our God. And so let us take our Bibles and open to Matthew chapter 16. And then verse 18 and 19. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Amen? I give to you this power. I give to you this authority. Whatever you bind on earth will receive a corresponding response above in heaven. Whenever you lose here, will also be released over there. God says he's giving us the power. He's giving us all the resources. Giving us all the resources. The day you accepted, I know all of us have accepted Jesus as Lord and Master of our lives. The very day you accepted Christ as Master and Lord of your life, you declare yourself the number one enemy of the devil. He holds this word. He's the God of this world. And he's controlling and destroying people, giving them all sorts of ideas, all sorts of things being thrown at them. But we declare ourselves as the number one enemy of the devil. And then we got to understand that God has called us not to a playground, but to a battleground. Yes. And so this morning, with all what the Lord is doing in our lives, I pray that brothers and sisters in the Lord, we adopt that, you know, make sure that we adopt that battleground mentality. and put away the playground mentality. Christianity is not a playground mentality. It is not just going to the dining hall and putting bread and butter and easily just enjoy it. It is not bread and butter journey. It is a spiritual battle that we are engaged in. But many, many believers in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ are continuing to adopt that playground mentality in their lifestyle, living carelessly, carnal, and moving anyhow. But God has brought us here together to be a militant force.
Amen.
To be a militant force in contemporary times, in this world of technology, to arise in the power of the Holy Spirit. And in this battle, you can't be neutral. It is not possible. You've got to get involved in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are a militant force fighting a war to rescue people, to be victorious in our lives and live for the Lord Jesus Christ, and to rescue people whom the devil has enslaved. Heaven is our home. This place, we're just passing through. But heaven is our home. And I know that in heaven, we will not need all the spiritual weapons that God has given to us in Scripture. In heaven, we are going to receive the victor's crown and the crown of righteousness. We're going to receive all these. But now that we are here, there is a tremendous spiritual battle going on in the lives of men. And we are the military people, spiritual military people that God is preparing for us in this rescue mission. So be militant as you go out and fight in the powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The whole heavenly host is behind us. Heavenly host, if God is to open your eyes to see heavenly host that comes us after us and are behind us, you will marvel. But it is war. And it requires the militancy on our part. Let us be militant. That's what God, this is the message God is sending us out, all of us. Let us go. Be as militant as ever in your life. Continue to understand that we've been called to fight. But the thing is that we are fighting from victorious point of view. That means that Jesus has already won the battle for us. You see, that's the bare fact in our Christian life. That is what the Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:8. It is grace. You don't need to work for anything. Jesus on the cross fought the devil and defeated the devil. So I always tell people that if the devil is, there are some things in your life and you know that this is the devil, this is from the evil one, point him to the cross. That go there. If you have any battle, go there and meet Jesus Christ. Jesus has already defeated him and given us a victory. All we have to do is to begin to collect the victory, take the victory and move with it. So as we go, this is a message for all of us, is to really live for the Lord Jesus Christ. As the word came, let's move away from the elementary affairs and the small boys and girls things and move into maturity in Christ, in our lives, in our spiritual walk. Let us move higher to a higher level. Each year we go from one level to another in our studies. Let us move on. There are people level 100, they go to level 200, 300 and 400. Others do postgraduate programs. Others do all sorts of things are happening. We are moving up in our lives. Yes. You don't stay aloof each day. So God is saying that. Let us move up. We've been born again by the Spirit of the living God. And this God we are serving is a faithful God. He's faithful. He's been so faithful in my life. I can recount the faithfulness of God in your life. You have a testimony that God is faithful. But he's brought us to become part of the most powerful force, potent force on this planet Earth. People tried
to work, to make sure. Look, you read the Acts of the Apostles. They said, look, do not teach and preach in this name. You see, what I gather from it is that you can preach in any other name. You can have, there are a lot of names you can mention. We have Herod, we have all the Roman generals and the rest. There are other names you can, but for this name, this particular name, don't teach and preach in this name. Why? Why? The name is powerful. The name liberates. The name changes hearts and minds. It gives people the freedom to know what God is doing. And so they don't want, they want them to maintain the status quo so that they can do, the devil can do whatever he wants to do. But God has called all of us. Call all of us from different nations and from different places, from different towns and regions. He's brought all of us together in about, I think in about 20 years or 10 years or 15 years before. We never ever knew that all of us would congregate here today. How many of us, even 5 years back, knew that we would come here and all of us would congregate here from Ghana, from people who fly from Japan and Ethiopia, and all of us will be here as one body, believers in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, enjoying the worship and the word of God and lifting up our voice to God. How many of us knew? It is Him. Our plans and our purposes are in His hands. Yes. He knows what is we're going to be tomorrow. He knows where we're going to be next year. Everything is in His hands. So he's brought all of us together, Ecclesia, the church together. He's brought us from all nations and all people. And we are a potent, powerful force to take this land for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is it. That is it. And it belongs to Him. The church is His. It doesn't belong to any government. It doesn't belong to any group of people. It is Jesus Christ who is the head of the church. The Bible tells us in Timothy, 1 Timothy 3:15, that the church belongs to Him, the church of the living God. It belongs to Him. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23, it says, it's the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ, the militant church, the forceful church. That is advancing and taking territories for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Christ Himself is the cornerstone of the church. And He, according to Ephesians chapter 5 verse 23, He says, Jesus is the head. He leads the church. Brothers and sisters, He leads the church. In Ephesians 5, He says, Jesus loved the church and gave His life for the church. He purchased the church with His blood. Sanctify the church, the washing of His word. So it belongs to Him. It is His. The habitation of God. It is His. So when the church was inaugurated over 2,000 years ago in the upper room, it was through prayer and power descended. It wasn't people who were just didn't know what they were about. The Spirit of God came. And when the Spirit of God came upon them, brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, the church of Jesus Christ did not know any limit. She was born in power. Divine capability was given to the church. The divine nature of God was imparted into the church, into our lives. We walk here as human beings. We eat food like any other person will eat. But inside us is a divine capability, divine power that transcends what the flesh is doing and able to let us do what we are not able to do in the normal. He gives us supernatural power, supernatural abilities, anointing from above that is capable of breaking every yoke. We are in the military. We are the soldiers of the cross. And we must look at ourselves as such. Don't look at yourself as me. I'm weak. I don't know. I don't know this. I don't know that. I don't know theology. I don't know much of the Bible. I don't know all these things. He lives in you. That is the most important thing. Don't look at your failures. And I've been failing. I'm trying to do. It is not you. It is Him. It is Spirit inside us. The Holy Spirit power that is inside us. He imparts the supernatural power into us. All we have to do is to continue in him. Continue to press on. Continue to press on, my brother. Continue to press on, my sister. Move on in the Lord. Move on in the Lord. Move on in the Lord. So that the church of Jesus Christ, of which we are part, the militant church of which we are part, also consists of militant people. Militant people. Soldiers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And to be militant means that we are ready to fight for a specific cause. There is a cause. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Tell them about my love, about my peace, about the hope that I give, that only I can give. The world have a type of peace they give. They think that the peace of this world is in things. So if they are able to acquire some things, then they think that they can have peace in those things. If they are able to get some money, they think that peace can come through that money. But it is not. Jesus said the world has a type of peace that they offer. But I am offering a peace, not as the world offer, but a peace that comes from me. The peace of the Lord. Let us go and give this peace to the people. Hallelujah. That is what God wants us to be. A militant church. Moving on. A militant young man. A militant young woman for Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Moving on for a cause. Defending the cause of Christ. And giving the peace of God. The good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Tell them about it. With your life. And then with your mouth. Tell them. Declare it. Declare it. Declare it. No matter where it is, move on. Move on in the work of the Lord. Militant believers, therefore, are active in fighting to overthrow the kingdom of the devil. Overthrow. That is our mandate. Bringing God's kingdom in the hearts of men. The joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. You have people who will ridicule you. Are you sure? Are you sure you are right upstairs yet? You still believe these things? They will tell you. But God, through his own mercies, will give you the grace. There was this young man who was reading engineering in our university. And he had a friend. And this friend he had is an A student. Very brilliant young man. And he is not so good. But somehow they become friends. He is a Christian. He is not a Christian. This brilliant young man, an A student, is not a Christian. And then he tells him about Jesus Christ. He said, my friend, are you serious? This Jesus Christ things. Instead of studying, you go to meetings and all those things, and you've got to study. Because he teaches him some things. And it went on and on and on. And then he kept on persistently telling him, Kwapon, Jesus saves. My brother, he gives peace. And I want you to go to heaven together with me. And so he keeps on, he kept on and kept on and kept on. But this young man was also always telling him that you better stop all those things and study. Right. So persistently one day he told him that, well, I have a problem in my life. If your Jesus can solve that problem, then I think he's somebody worth trying. So what's the problem? He said, since I grew up, anytime I sleep, I see a coffin. Anytime I sleep. He said, even as I speak to you now, if I close my eyes and I get into sleep, I see a coffin. And I don't know of you, but in our part, if you see these things, then you know the result. So he said, that's my problem. Up to this university level, I still, even now, yesterday when I closed my eyes, when I slept, I saw a coffin right over there for me. So if your Jesus can do that, then please, I know that maybe I'll consider him. That's all right. This is something small for my Jesus. I mean, he was just laughing. He said, this is something small for my Jesus. I said, how you? He said, right. So he came by later and said, my brother, this Friday, I want you to fast and pray with me. He said, my friend, what is fasting? He said, we will not eat. He said, You know what he said? He said, you poor people, when you don't have food, then you begin to fast. He said, you fast because you are poor. I have everything. You know, I mean, he had everything. God has given this young man, you know, at that time, even in our time, the special abilities. He could put together all those things. At that time when these things were not very common, he was able to do all those things. So he was very rich. He was not living in the university apartment. He had his own 2-3-bedroom hall for himself. So he was rich. And so he said, all right, if you won't fast, I'll fast for you. So this Friday, I'm going to fast and pray for you. And God is going to take that thing off your life. So he started praying, committing his friend into the hands of the Lord. Lord, touch him and remove that thing. And Lord, if you do it, the glory will be yours. And save this friend of mine. So he prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. Then after that Friday, this young man went to sleep. He didn't see any coffin. He forgot. He forgot that he had told his friend that if you pray for me and this coffin leaves, I am going to serve your Jesus. I'm going to consider him. But it left. After that Friday, it left. He slept soundly without any hitch, without any coffin, seeing anything. And then he forgot that coffin is gone. And so this brother went back and told him that, I have prayed for you and I believe my Jesus Christ must do something. He said, yes, I don't see the coffin no anymore. It's all right. If my Jesus has been able to do this, what else can't he do? The long and short of the matter is that now that young engineer is in the Lord. He accepted Jesus as Lord and Master of his life. You see, not because this man had any theological background, was able to take the Bible and say, John chapter 3 verse 16 and this, and quoted all the scriptures. He didn't quote anything. But he believes in Jesus. He knows that Jesus is able to do all things. And so he continued. No matter the ridicule, what he was telling him is that you, I'm brilliant than you. So if you know anything, I should rather know it and tell you. Not you, not the other way. He continued, but he persisted. My God is able. Jesus is able. He will give you the peace. He will give you the joy. And eventually, he came to Christ. We are part of a militant force. The power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is with us. Don't look at Goliath, how big he is, and be frightened. Don't look at Goliath and the things that Goliath will be saying. You see, for 40 days and 40 nights, the Bible says that Goliath came up and began to speak. And as he spoke, and Saul and his military people were listening to him, insofar as you'll be listening to Goliath, you'll be cowered into thinking that you can't do anything. And that is what many Christians are doing. They are looking around. They are looking around and listening to the news and looking at the papers, what people are bombarding us against the gospel and taking and describing us in so many other areas. You look at it, you hear it, and then you begin to think, oh, we can't do anything. There are too many. We are just a few people. Look at all my classmates. I'm the only person who mentions the name of Jesus Christ. And then you look at them, they'll be talking, they'll be jeering, they'll be smiling, they'll be doing all sorts of things at you, and you listen to Goliath. Insofar as you listen to Goliath, you become smaller and smaller. Fear grips you, and the people are there. Goliath comes there and speaks to them. 40 days and 40 nights. The military people, the generals, the captains, the brigadiers, they were all listening to him. Till that young man came and listened to him just once and said, what will be done to this man? Anybody who kills this man, say, I will kill him. I will kill him. How can this man be saying some things about the God of creation? How can he do that? I will kill him. His brother said, you can't. You can't. You are even underage. You are not supposed to be here. Why are you here? He said, look, I'm here for a purpose. I can't stand this man talking these things about our God. How can he defy the armies of the God of Israel? I can't. Eventually, this young boy was given the opportunity to face him. Of course, nobody can. So if he says he can, let us support him. My friend, go. And King Saul thought that if he gives him all the weapons around him and put all those things on him and gives him his weapons, he will be able to face Goliath. He'll be able to face him. But he said, no, I've not tried this. I have an experience. And the king said, what do you have? He said, I have a catapult. Catapult to face Goliath. What are you talking about? He said, king, I have a bush experience. And that bush experience is that. When God leads me, when the bears and the lions are coming at my sheep, I just go there, trace him, get him, take my sheep out of his mouth and kill it. That same God who was with me in the bush is the same God who is with me. And Goliath is talking and doing all those things, but that God that I serve, who helps me to kill the Goliath? Who helps me to kill him? Who helps me to kill the lions? Who helped me to kill him? So David didn't talk about, he didn't listen to Goliath and think about the fact that he's so huge, he has all the weapons, and he's powerful, and that I can't do anything. No! Immediately, something came into him. I have a God. I have a God who kissed me in the wilderness. I have a God who has kept me up to today. I have a God who, why did God preserve my life up to today? I had an accident in which 6 people died on the spot and 2 other people died in the hospital, and I sat at the hospital and saw this dead body and said, God, why did you preserve my life? What? Is it not for a purpose? Is it not for a cause? Is it for a cause? I have that God who is able and capable. He's able. So Goliath saw David coming and said, look, you people, how shameful can you be? This boy. Breaking this board, not even a military man, with even a spear. He has nothing. Coming to face me. How is that going to be? How is that going to be? We begin to figure out, God, how am I going to do it? Lord, how is this going to be? They are bigger than I am. They are more intelligent than I am. They are richer than I am. They know more than I am. They are this that I am. But the God inside us, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Remind yourself of the word of God, what God has done in your life, and begin to move ahead as a military man for Jesus Christ, as a soldier of the cross. It is possible. He's called us for a purpose. I told him, you are coming. He looks at Goliath face to face and said, look, you are coming with me with all the military weapons that you have. But I come to you in the name of the God of Israel. The God that you are defying, I'm coming to you in that name. Today, I will kill you and I will cut off your head. And everybody here will know that there is a God in Israel. And he was going. How was he going to do that? The man hasn't got a knife. He hasn't got any spear. He hasn't got any sword. But he said, I'll kill you and cut your head. How was he going to do that? Use a catapult. The spirit of the living God with you, with a catapult. Let somebody come with a jet airplane, military, whatever, but with that catapult, the Holy Ghost is in that catapult. Yes. The very little you have, it may be just one word. Let it come out. The Holy Spirit in that one word is capable to upset every idea and everything that people have in their minds. The power of the Holy Ghost is able. Brothers and sisters, we are in a military force, the militant church, the church of Jesus Christ. We are among the people who are invincible, who turn cities upside down, and who are the militant and triumphant church. We are powerful. We are powerful. Hallelujah. Amen. I say we are powerful. I am powerful. You are powerful. I'm powerful not because I know anything. I've not been trained in any way. I'm powerful because the Holy Ghost is in my heart. Because Jesus is in my heart. Jesus is in my heart. Jesus in my heart. So he says, I give you power. I give you power. Go. I give you power. This is Jesus speaking. I give you power. Power over every power of the enemy. Power over everything that wants to conquer you.
Go and take authority. Go and do what I've got to do in and through your life. I am with you. I'll never leave nor forsake you. Hallelujah. Be to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has called us into this society for a purpose. I say to you, I will build my church. I'll build my church, militant church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Shall not prevail. We have a church in Pakistan, and when he sends us the bulletin, I see that they're trying to crumble the Christians. No, the more they do, the more they multiply. The more they do, the more they rise up. They want to destroy. They want to break the woman. They want to break the man. But the more they do, the more the power of the Holy Spirit begins to work in their life. They don't understand why these things happen. These things happen. It's the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, as you go out, never underestimate the power of God inside you.
Yes, that's right.
Never, never in your life, never ever underestimate the power of God inside you. And that is the reason why we don't have to put a limit on ourselves. You don't have to. Do what God wants you to do. Speak out what God wants you to speak out. It can be one word, as I've said, it can be one word, it can be a phrase, it can be something very simple. It can be something that God has done in your life. A testimony, the joy of God in your life, the peace of God in your heart, the protection of God in your life. It can be something very small. To you, you may think it's very small. But because of the power of God in your life, God begins to use it. The Spirit of God takes it and begins to use it to the glory of God. Because remember, Jesus said, if the Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power. And that power has already come in our lives to conquer and to destroy the work of in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 to 9, the Bible says, he says, be vigilant. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, prowls around, seeking whom to devour. But he resists fast in the faith. Resist in the faith. You are an overcomer. I am an overcomer. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No matter what the devil assembles against us, brothers and sisters, we are the victorious, powerful army of God. We are in this army. We are in this army. And Jesus has already won the victory for us. So the word defeat is not part of us. You can't be defeated. He does it for us. We don't have to do it. We don't have any strength to do it. We don't have any strength to do it. So in Ephesians chapter 6, when Paul was given the arsenal of the Christian weaponry, He talks about so many, many powerful things that we must use to destroy the work of the enemy. We don't have to, as we go, also be ignorant of the devices of the devil. He will come in so many ways. He will come in so many ways. But we need to know his devices. He is the one who blinds the minds of people to the truth. Making things difficult. He blinds them, we know it. But if you know that, then you need to battle it as a military officer in the life, in the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When you see anything of the devil, all you have to do is to apply the neology. Battle it! Speak against it! If he's your friend, wherever he is, and he has all these concepts and all these things, bring it to the Lord in prayer. Bring it in Jesus' name. Lift up your voice and say, Father, in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I come against these ideas in my brother's mind, in my brother, my friend's mind, and I cancel all these ideas in Jesus' name, and I pray that Spirit of God, you will enter into his thinking and begin to remove and to put in what you want to put in. It is ours to take it. Take it. Now sit down and say, well, if that is what you believe, that is all right. It doesn't matter. We are still friends. No. I wouldn't go for that. Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. You don't need to go and fight him physically. You don't need to go and argue with him physically. But you have the greatest weapon. As you sit in your room, as you lay on your bed in your room, as you kneel in your room, as you walk around, you lift up your voice and you mention his name or you pray for your friend. The Holy Spirit gets there. Yes. Holy Spirit gets there. Let us be militant. Let us be forceful. From today, stop all those, you know, elementary things. Stop those elementary things. Begin to move, delve deep. Jesus looked at Peter and said, Peter, now cast the net. Go to where it is deeper and cast the net. Peter said, look, Lord, you don't understand. When I was a fisherman, you were not born. I've been a fisherman before you were born. We've told all night. We've used all the strategies that we know. All these strategies didn't work. And that is why we are here. Jesus said, I say, go into the deep. Cast the net there. Finished. He said, well, if you say so, by your word, we will go. And they obeyed. The Bible said they cast out the net and they couldn't draw it. They had to bring other people to help them. How is it? Jesus makes a difference. The power of the Holy Spirit in us makes a difference. The devil blinds people. He has blinded people's minds. He attacks the prayer lives of even believers. He will attack your life. As you go here, the devil is preparing. You say you want to pray. We will see. He is planning. Because he will attack your prayer life. He'll make you too busy. I have to do this. I have to do that. I have to do that. He'll make you too busy. And because before you realize, for 1 week, you have not even spent 5 minutes in prayer. He will attack that. That is some of his tactics. He attacks the spiritual lives of people. He will attack our spiritual life. He doesn't want us to make move forward, but rise up in the power of the Holy Spirit. He attacks marriages. He attacks families. He attacks our health. He attacks our finances. He attacks our jobs. He attacks many areas of our lives. But don't let him battle it out as a soldier of the cross. Soldier of the cross. Rise up to your responsibility. I was listening to the news, and the British Navy has bought a huge ship. And it's doing what? Evacuating their work. They know when they were bringing that ship, they know that something can happen and it can cause their lives. But they were prepared for it. Why? Because they had been trained to defend the British people. And so they brought the ship, big one. I don't know the name of that ship, but big one. And these people were, as I watched it, they were helping the people, their bags, put it in. Somebody was registering very quickly. They were getting all of them up to safety. To safety. To safety. You see? And that is what God has brought us into. The military force in the Lord Jesus Christ. A militant church, a militant believer in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It comes from our spirit. It comes from inside. It doesn't come from my weak temperament or what I can do. No, it comes from the spirit of God inside me. Inside me. So no matter the attack, God gives us the power. He gives us the enablement. He gives us anointing. And all we need to know is to rise up and stand in the victory that Jesus Christ has bought for us on Calvary. Stand in that victory and begin to throw your weapons in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And always know, never ever forget that you are part of a powerful, supernatural, indestructible superstructure called the Church of Jesus Christ. Indestructible church. Power of God. That is where we belong. All over the world. The world is trying to tell us that Jesus doesn't matter. All over the world. It's not only here. Africa, elsewhere. They are trying every day, every day. They are scheming. They are doing things to say that Jesus doesn't matter. He's dead and gone. It's history. It is history of the, as we say in Africa, it's history of the white people. Why do you bring these things over here? But we know that the power of God through salvation in Christ. It is the power of God. It's the power of God. So let us keep on. No matter the circumstances, God has put his power in this earthen vessel. According to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. He said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessel. This treasure, all these in our mortal bodies. So that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It is not us. It's him. It's him. Praise the Lord. It is him. It is him. So it is in God's plan that the Church of Jesus Christ will move on and conquer. We are part of it.
So finally, in Ephesians chapter 6, let us turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6 and pray. Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible says, in verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not be strong in yourself. Not be strong in your intellectual ability. Not be strong in what you have. But be strong in the Lord. Be strong in Jesus and in the power of his might. Not your might. In the power of his might. That is where we stand. Be strong in the Lord. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against principal hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And in verse 18 it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me. God, that is the key. That is the key. Put on the whole armor of God. Stand and be strong. Let the power of the Holy Ghost well up inside of you. Be strong, brother. Be strong, sister. Don't allow anything to bring you under. Don't allow anything to push you under. They did all these things to Jesus Christ, but he rose. He rose from the grave. He's alive and well. He's alive. Jesus is alive and well. As we sit here, he is interceding on our behalf. Daily, he's interceding. So if you don't have anybody praying for you, don't worry. There is Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, at the right hand side of God in heaven, pleading upon our behalf daily, every day. Pleading, encouraging you, praying for you, praying for me. That you stand. So be strong. Be strong inside of you. If there are some weaknesses and things in the mind that you are struggling and thinking about, the Bible says be strong as a soldier of the cross. Be strong. Be strong in the power of his might, not in yourself. If you say be strong in yourself, then you have a problem. Because then you have to do, what do I get to be strong? What do I do? But say, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. In the power of his mind. Be strong, therefore. Be strong in your spirit. Be strong in your prayer. Pray all kinds of prayer. Go on your knees. Battle it with the Lord. Tell the Lord. You see, we have the power to tell the devil to keep his distance. That's all what it means. I will build my church. The gates of hell, the gates of hate, hell cannot prevail against my church. No power, no government will be able to prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. But what he's saying is that I give you the keys of the kingdom. I give you power in your hands. Whatever you bind here will be bound in heaven. In other words, heaven is always waiting for us. God will not directly intervene, but he's waiting for us. Whatever difficulty you are facing, whatever challenges you are facing, God is waiting for you to give him permission to act. That is the great thing about Christianity. He's waiting for us. He's waiting for us. He's waiting for us. Because in our home, as all these fetishes and powers of the enemy are all there, and they are dancing every day, and they gather the women and the men, and they do all sorts of incantations and the rest, and then you become a Christian, you are not there in the village, you are elsewhere, but you begin to send a spiritual arsenal, spiritual missiles. You begin to throw spiritual missiles. In the morning, in the afternoon, in the night, as they meet, you throw missiles. And then it begins to dismantle the work of the enemy and all those things. And when the fetish spirit dies, the spirit is supposed to move into another person. I mean, that is how it is. So whether at the day of the funeral or whatever, the spirit is supposed to possess another person, either a woman or a man. But we have prayed to stop that. We have prayed to stop the advancement of the powers of the enemy. And so that was it. That was it. That was it. Now all those who are supposed to serve these idols and fetish and all those things, now they have turned to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yeah. They lift up their voice and bless the name of the Lord and glorify the name of the Lord. How did it happen? It took war. You battle it. On your knees. So be strong in the Lord. Don't let anything shake you. Don't let anything shake you. Be strong in the Lord. In the power of his might. Not in your power. Put forth the belt of truth. The breastplate of righteousness. The feet. Our feet fitted with the gospel of peace. Helmet of salvation. Faith. Faith. And the sword of the Spirit. Ward away every form of the powers of the enemy. Faith in Jesus Christ. You see, when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples and they started working, when they met any challenge, they didn't tell themselves, all right, this is the challenge. Let us go back to Emmanuel Church, Durham Center, and begin to pray. No. As you meet the challenge, wherever the challenge is, by faith, yes. Lift up your voice. Because Jesus Christ doesn't reside in buildings. That's right. I am the temple of the Holy Ghost, and he lives in me wherever I find myself. So wherever you meet a challenge, lift up your voice. Wherever. Command in the name of Jesus Christ. I give to you the keys of the kingdom. It has been given to you. Utilize it. Open doors. What do we use key for? Key shows authority. If you don't have the key, you can't go into the room. So Jesus said, how can a strong man, somebody go into a strong man's room and bind him up and take whatever he has unless he binds the strong man. Yes. Bind the strong man. You have the authority. I give you power of the kingdom. Keys of the kingdom is in your hands. Begin to open. Amen? Yes. Begin to open. Keys do open. So it is your responsibility, it is my responsibility to begin to open the treasures of heaven. Key. Whatever you need, key, this key breaks, opens finance, it opens health, it opens salvation for people, salvation for my family, salvation in my life, power of the Holy Spirit in my life, begin to open. And as you begin to open with your mouth in prayer, God begins to work and glorifies his name in everything we do. And as verse 18 says, pray always, praying always, always, not sometimes, praying always. So our breath and everything should be prayer, 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 prayer. That will make it. Therefore, brothers and sisters, as we go out, get aggressive for Jesus. Get aggressive. It doesn't mean that you have to go through your hands and through your legs and doing this. No. Aggressive inside. Aggressive inside. Inside me, I want to see righteous glory. I want to see my friend saved. I want to see my family saved. I want to see my brother. I love my brother so much. I want to see him saved. I love my mother. I want to see my mother saved. Holy Ghost, begin to do something in this family by the power of the Holy Spirit. How you will do it, I don't know, Lord. If I look at their mentality and the way they talk, how you will do it, I don't know. But all I know is that you are able.
Yes.
You are able. That is all I know. You are able. Because Paul was doing all sorts of things. But one day, on the way to Damascus, light from heaven threw upon him. And he fell down. And said, who are you, Lord? Jesus, I'm Jesus whom you are persecuting. Lord, if you are able to do that, you were able to do that to Saul and change him to Paul, why can't you do that for my father?
Yes.
This is the challenge. Be aggressive in the Lord. And you begin to accomplish some things, and then you look at yourself, is that me? I didn't know that God was so close to me like this. That is how the Lord does it. Rise up in the power of the Holy Spirit. So from today, begin to think militarily. Think militantly, militantly. Thinking, your thinking should be so militant. Thinking about things. Very, very revolutionary in your thinking. New things, Lord. Do some new things. Begin to pray militantly. Begin to pray militantly. As a soldier of the cross, begin to pray militantly. Speak militantly. Don't speak like you don't know what you're about. Speak like David rose up and said, I will kill you. I will kill you. I will give your meat to the birds of the air. I'll kill you. Speak militantly. Don't speak like you are weak. You don't know what you're about and you are afraid and the fear has capitalized you, has overwhelmed you so much that you even don't know what to do and you are walking, you know, on the earth as if this earth has been borrowed from somebody and you are walking on it like this. No. Walk like this earth belongs to Jesus Christ.
Yes.
It is yours. It is your father's. It's our father's. It belongs to him. So you've got to speak militantly. Do things militantly. Go out militantly. When you speak and pray that God bring some people to me for me to talk to them about Jesus Christ, for me to share my testimony, Jesus will bring them. When they come, speak militantly. Let them know that you know what you are talking about. Speak with confidence in the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't speak as if you don't know what you're about. Speak militantly. Go out militantly. Go out with that mind. Resist the devil militantly. Resist. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. He's one of the most afraid men in this world. He's afraid. He'll come and drink all the noise. Say all the noise. That is what is bringing down many believers in Jesus Christ. Because the media and all others, they'll be screaming and doing all those things. But I'm telling you, if you stand, the Bible says, if we stand and resist, the devil will flee. So begin. Resist the devil. Resist the enemy. Let the power of the Holy Ghost come into our lives. Move in militancy. I don't know how to describe it for you to understand, my brothers and my sisters. I pray that the Spirit of God will give you a revelation of the word that he's bringing to us. As we go out over here, as our sister said, it's not a time for you to go and relax. It's time for you to press on. Press on. For some of you, he may even have prepared something for you because he wants to get all what you have here off in your system. But as you go, the devil is a liar. Whatever he has prepared, I come against you in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I stand in my militancy and the aggressive spirit God has given to me, and I'm going to do and operate in that area.
Yes.
And you can't do anything. That should be our mind and our thinking. And like Elijah, arise and open your mouth to the Lord God Almighty. As we do that, brothers and sisters, next year we will meet again and God will be doing some things in your life. Wherever you will be going, the Spirit of God will be moving in your life. God will take you and give you great things. You will be touching lives. You will be touching great people. You will be touching cities and turning cities upside down. And it will marvel you what God can do. So brothers and sisters, as we go out, I pray that we allow the Spirit of God to work in and through us and be aggressive. Live militantly for the Lord. Be aggressive in our walk with God. In contemporary times, in our day and age of technology, what else? What else do we have to do? But I expect the Holy Ghost power and anointing and his miracles to work in and through us to the glory of God's name. Let us bow our heads and pray. Begin to pray. Lift up your voice and begin to pray. The Lord, put this in my